so glad to have you here, and it's going to be a great day. And I know for a fact that if you're listening online and you stay tuned in for the whole service, you're going to receive something that's going to change your life forever. So don't go 5 minutes in and say, well, you know, I got stuff to do, okay? If you can't be here, watch the service. I believe God's going to do something for you today. Amen. Well, this morning I get the privilege to share on the tithes and offering message. And I'm going to minister on the first fruit offering. I figured coming into the new year, December 31st, what better time than to do a first fruit offering. And first fruit is not a tithe. It is not just a normal free will offering. It is a free will offering, but it's not just one that you would give any normal Sunday. The first fruit offering really started in Genesis. And, you know, coming into a new year, some people for their first fruit offering would give maybe their first paycheck of the year as a first fruit, and then believing that God would bless the rest of the year's income. There's people that may get a raise, and the difference of their raise in their paycheck, they would give that first difference in order to believe God that that raise would be blessed throughout the rest of the year, and even believe for more raises. So if you turn to Genesis 4 with me, we're going to go to verse 1. And this is pretty much where the first fruit offering started. And, you know, I heard a saying one time that money can be the greatest servant or it can be the strongest master. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I completely agree with that. If you love money, then that shows your heart is not in a place of releasing when God tells you to release. It's not in a place of obedience for what you're supposed to give. You know, what I'm about to read to you is going to show there's evidence that money is a heart issue. So let's start verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and that shall rule over him. Verse 8, And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. For non-King James translations, that means he killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So if you look back at verse 3, Cain brought of the fruit of his ground an offering unto the Lord. And most people would think, well, that's great. He brought an offering unto the Lord. But if you look at verse 4, it says, Abel, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. The other word for fat, some translation would say the finest that he had. So Cain gave just fruit of the ground, very, just a very easy term to use, right? But Abel gave his firstlings of his flock and the finest he had. And there was a difference there, and God respected Abel's offering. And at that moment, Cain was jealous, he was angry, and you can see that evident, that the money is a heart issue if you're willing to kill someone over it. So the love of money is the root of all evil. But that's where the first fruit offering came. It was his firstling. It was the best that he had. And he was giving that as an offering before God. And God, he honored and respected that offering. So then from there, let's go to Hebrews 11:4. And there's only two offerings that I know of in the Bible that were written down that they would still be speaking, or that they would be preached among all the earth. And one of those is the alabaster box offering that the woman poured out the oil on Jesus. And then there's this one. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, it still speaks. And that shows the offering that Abel gave. That shows the importance, the fact that this had to be repeated again in the New Testament. That shows how important this was, this moment was, and how important this first fruit offering was to God and what it meant to him. You know, in I'm not going to read into it's way too much. Malachi 1, 2, and 3 is all about how the priests and the people stopped giving their tithes and offerings. And, you know, it actually said, cursed be the deceiver who robs God of his first fruits and the tithe. I just summed Malachi 1, 2, and 3 up for you. But there's an ending to that. That in Malachi 3, 8 through 12, that if you give, and if you give your tithes and your offerings, that there's a blessing for you. He'll open up the windows of heaven for you. So it's important to God that we give. You know, Jesus was actually our first fruit offering. In the Bible, in Luke 2:23, if you turn to Luke 2:23, the firstborn son was always given to God and consecrated unto God. So Luke 2:23. Luke 2:23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy of the Lord. In New Living Translation, it says, any firstborn son is always dedicated to the Lord. Right? So Jesus was our firstborn son, and he was our first fruit offering to us. And we are still partaking of that first fruit offering today. In James 1:18, we are actually God's first fruits. We are the first fruits of God, and we now have the ability with confidence before God to go with him with righteousness and know that we are accepted in front of God. James 1:18. And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Does anybody have New Living Translation in here? Do you? I want to, all the doeths and theyths. Where'd it go? Here we go. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. So that's a little prized possession. Once again, a first fruit. We are first fruits of God. That would be a prized possession, would be the best of your flock, the best of your finances. We are a prized possession. So Romans 11:6 says, if the first fruit is holy, the lump should also be holy. So when you give that first fruit at the beginning of the year, you're actually setting yourself up for the rest of the lump of the year to be set aside and blessed before God. So I want you to think today, and maybe, you know, maybe it's something you and your spouse need to pray about. Maybe it's something you can't physically do today because you need to lose something, you need to do something in your finances or whatever it is, and you need to be in agreement with your spouse. So maybe it's not today, but maybe by next Sunday, during this upcoming week of prayer and fasting, and you're praying and you're saying, God, what is my best? What is my first fruit offering unto you? And then come back next Sunday and give that which the Lord spoke to you. Because delayed obedience is still disobedience. But when you're obedient to God, there is never a place in the Bible where you will be obedient to God and there's not a blessing for you in return. You can't argue with me on that. You can go through every place of the Bible, and anywhere that God has made a command to you to be obedient to, if you follow that command, there will be a blessing for you. And there will be something that you get in return. Amen? And if you do some research this week, look at all the promises of God from Genesis to Revelation. There are thousands of promises from God. And if you obey his word, those promises are all yours. It does not have to be, well, I'm saved, brother, and that's enough for me. No, because there is more in the word for you to grab a hold of that's yours. Healing is yours. Increase in finances is yours. Prosperity to grow the church and be a blessing to people. You can't be a blessing to people if you're broke. You can't do it. You can't have people over at a house that you don't have. Okay? So there's things that God has paid for by salvation. When you get saved, that word physically means prosperity, it means healing, wholeness. And yes, we are going to heaven, and if that was all we had, that would be enough. But I'm here to tell you that that's not all you get with it. You get a lot more. You get everything this Bible says. You need to grab a hold of it and say, that's mine. Amen? Amen? So we're going to get ready to give. If you can give a first fruit offering today, I encourage you to do it. But consecrate this time and believe God that when you sow this first fruit offering coming up into the new year, that God would bless this whole upcoming year of your work. If you're a farmer, that he'd bless your land this year. If you are a dairy farmer, that he would bless your cows this year and that your cows would produce more milk than they've ever produced. You know, I don't know. I'm not a dairy. I don't know how that works, okay? But just believe God in whatever industry you're in. You know, if you do mechanical work, that there'll be more mechanical work coming in. If you have a coffee company, you'll have more coffee orders that come in than you've ever had. So whatever your industry is, whatever your profession is, believe God that it's going to be blessed this year when you give this offering. All right? So, ushers, if you'd get ready to serve the people. But there's envelopes in the back of your seat. You can either do check or cash in those envelopes, or there's other ways to give. If you're watching online, at NFC Give on Venmo. Our mailing address is there, New Freedom Church, P.O. Box 164, Churchill, Maryland, 21623. Or you can text to give. So I encourage you, be praying about what the Lord wants you to do. If it's not today, if the Lord's laying something on your heart that you can't physically give today, be asking the Lord what that would be. And even during times of prayer and fasting this week when you're here, if the Lord lays something on your heart, give it during prayer and fasting. And come bring it before the Lord. This is amazing to see the people here today and to see what God's doing here in Sudlersville and Queen Anne's County, all right? So sow into that. Sow into what's happening here and the northern part of the county and believe God that it's going to keep growing and more souls would come in. Amen. All right, ushers, go ahead. Hallelujah. You know, and the devil will try to lie to you and tell you that offering you sowed, what were you thinking? You didn't hear from the Lord. You just did that because the guy was telling you to up front. I'm not telling you to do anything. You make the decision for yourself. I'm telling you that I've experienced this in my life when we've become givers and tithers and sowers of seed that we've seen increase. We're about to move into a house in a week and a half. Praise God. All right? So when you're a tither and a giver, you hang on to that word and you say, Lord, this is mine. And you said in your word. And you can put a demand on his word. God's not afraid of you saying, but God, you said in this Bible here that you would do this for me. He's not afraid of that. That doesn't scare him. And I've done it before, and he didn't strike me dead, so he won't do it to you either. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gifts and the givers today. We thank you for the seed sown. I thank you that you multiply it. That you multiply the seed sown, that you increase their accounts to do good. Thank you, Lord, that you increase them from every side. There's angels from the north, the south, the east, and the west bringing forth provision. We thank you that it's not just enough to meet the need, but it's enough to sow a seed and still be blessed afterwards. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. I feel a somberness in the house, but that's about to change. Amen. Well, some of you believe that's about to change. Amen. Because the Lord has promises for us. And I can say this. Pastor Caleb shared a portion of the promises of God. There's over 5,000 promises in Scripture. And when we put our eyes on those promises and we believe that they're ours, it changes our life. It changes everything. It changes our continents. It changes everything. So that's what I'm believing today, to give you a few promises that you can put your faith to, run with, walk in, and experience all the days of your life. Because once you get revelation of something, it becomes yours.
Amen.
Amen. And nobody can take it from you, not even the enemy himself. He cannot take the word of God from you when you know it's yours.
Amen.
Amen. I know Pastor Lacey is my wife, and the enemy can do nothing about it. Absolutely nothing about it. Amen. I know my kids, and I know my word. I know the Holy Spirit, and he is mine. He lives in me, and nobody can take him from me. His joy, his peace, his comfort, his guidance is mine. Amen. And I have that revelation, and I put my eyes on that, and the word of God encourages me in that truth every time I open it. Every time I open it, the promise of the Holy Spirit and his written word to my heart becomes real to me every time. So the more I open it, the more encouraged I get, the happier I get. Amen. Because I put my eyes on it. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. But let me pray first. Let me pray first. It's always good to pray and ask the Lord and allow the Lord to intervene. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every soul present today. Lord, I lift those that are online up to you right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak to each and every person today. Lord, beyond where they are and what they see, Father God, I thank you you're going to reveal the kingdom of God to them in a mighty, mighty way. Speak to your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So pray in that prayer. I already know a promise of God that God's speaking.
Amen.
And the closure to that promise or the solidification of that promise is that your ears are open to hear what he's saying. And that's what I'm believing for. That your spiritual ears are open to hear the word of the Lord. And it's going to come alive to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do not come to church just as a religious duty. That's not me. I can do a lot of things out of a duty, and I've done many things out of a duty, but I'm past the duty side of things. I'm coming to church to receive all God has for me. I'm not coming just to so people can see my face. I'm coming to receive from God, and I'm telling you right now, in all love, I will just go past you and go get what God has for me. Amen. By faith. So look out, because I'm going somewhere. Amen. I got it. God has something for me today that I'm going to get. And you say, well, you're the preacher. You should have it. I don't have much, but I know who does.
That's right.
And I'm going to fight the fight of faith to grab a hold of all that God has for me.
Amen.
Amen. I won't push you over. I won't kick you down. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going after God. And this new year is going to be a great year of what God's going to do for his people in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Not only New Freedom, but other churches in the area. Bless God. Amen. Amen. You're going to hear some things later on if you haven't already. God's doing a work. Amen. So the title of my message is Transitioning Your View. Transitioning Your View. So what does that mean? Everybody views things. We have two eyes. We view things. But I want to talk on the spiritual side as well, that we have a view of things, and whatever we view, that's the direction we take. I do not view the back of the building and walk that way. Right? No, you don't do that. You say, well, that's stupid, Pastor. Yeah, it is stupid. But there's people that do that spiritually, like they're looking in a direction, but their flesh is going the opposite way. They're divided. They're double-tongued, they're double-minded, and they're not looking in the right direction. They need to transition their view. They desire to go in a direction with God, but their view is not in God. Their view is in the world, and they're having a struggle of having a mixed view of things. Because if you have a worldly view and you're trying to do a kingdom work, you're divided. And it does not work that way. All right? If half of me wanted to run that way and the other half that way, I have a problem. A big problem. And guess what you do? You get nowhere. You get absolutely nowhere, and you spin your tires in life because you have a desire to go this way, a desire to serve God, but your view is not on God. Your view is on something that you're trying to obtain yourself. Come on. I'm digging right after it because I'm telling you, to get the promises of God, you got to view God. You got to see God for who He is and start walking in the direction that He has for you. And don't worry about what it's going to look like. Don't worry about what people are saying about it. You get your eyes fixed on God and you run for God with all your might. I press forward. I press in, as Paul says, to the high calling of God. You say, well, you've been doing ministry for 13 years. You got it together. No, I'm like a little child. Man, today is a great day. It's like my first sermon ever. I'm coming to get excited about God because God has a promise for me. Amen. And I'm pressing in. And I'm not looking back. Because when I look back, I stop moving forward. Have you ever driven your car, for you guys that have your license? And some men probably do it worse than women. But you're driving down the road and all of a sudden there's something in the field. Whatever way you look, that's the way your car goes. Your car never goes the opposite way that you look. You do not go like this. You go, your tendency is to go like this. So what you put your eyes on is where you steer yourself. Come on. So when your eyes are on God, you're driving right to heaven. You're driving forward. Amen. Is this helping you? I haven't even shared a scripture yet. I'm just encouraging you. I'm just encouraging you. Amen. So God has designed us to view Him. God is not some hidden thing, some sacred mystical thing that we can't find. God is wide open. He created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He created you. So when you view yourself, you can say, I'm a creation of the Most High God. I'm a child of God. I am a kingdom man or a kingdom woman. See, you got to see yourself that way, because if you don't see yourself as a kingdom person, you see yourself as a worldly person. When you see yourself in lack, that you live in lack. When you see yourself not as a leader, then you're not going to lead. Hey, I'm speaking to myself. I got to view what God says about me, not about what man says about me. Not even about what people that I know say about me. Because they're not always going to say the kingdom of God. They're not always going to speak scripture over your life and bless you. God bless you. I'm telling you, we got people moving out to plant a church. And I'm so excited about it. I can't even contain myself. And you say, well, you're losing some key people. I ain't losing nothing. I'm getting ready to gain a whole bunch. Because my view is on the kingdom. It's not on this. Amen. My view is not on just new freedom. My view is on heaven. So whatever I can do for heaven, I'm all about it. Because that's more people going out to bring the kingdom of God that's going to be added to my account. So I'm like, yeah, go ahead. You go too. You go. And people, oh my golly, your church is going to shrink. No, it's not. There's no way. God does not shrink. God doesn't go in reverse. God goes full bore ahead. Every person that followed after God went forward. They never went back. The ones that turned and looked back are the ones that had issues. When you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord about Lot's wife. It didn't work out well for her. For you to know the story, she turned into a pillar of salt because she what? She looked back. We need to transition our view. There was a word given by Pastor Lacey about 6 months ago. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And that's been a staple phrase and word, prophetic word for New Freedom Church. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. Why? Put your view on heaven and you'll start seeing heaven come to pass. Because you're facing in the right direction. And what you're looking at, you're expecting to get to. That's vision. I want you to understand what vision is. If you want to write this down, I stole it off the internet. I don't know who wrote it, but I like it so much, I'm claiming it. Amen. Vision is a picture of the future that produces a passion for the present. I'll say it 5 more times. It's that good. Vision is a picture of the future So vision is a picture of your future off in the distance. Your future. It's a picture of your future that produces a passion. A passion for the present. So when you view something good, it gives you a passion now to get there. Amen. So when you see that your family is blessed, amen, and prosperous, you see that in the future, it gets you excited right now to start doing something to prepare for what's going to take place. Amen. And as people plant churches, as people do ministry, as people serve the Lord, they put their eyes on Jesus, amen, and there's no way of failing. It propels you. It gives you a passion. You say, you're passionate, Pastor. Yes, because I see kingdom children out before me getting ready to do great things for God. Amen. Hallelujah. I see healing in the air. I see provision in the air. I see prosperity. I see. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the blessing of Lord just carrying you through. Not worried about RSV, not worried about COVID. Who cares about those things? They're not of the kingdom of God. My view is not on what man says. My view is on what the Word of God says. I am a child of the Most High God. I am redeemed of the Lord. So my eyes are on heaven. I'm not of this world. Why am I viewing this world to dictate who I am? I dictate the world. I tell the world what it's going to do. Hey, I know you're like, oh my God, he's one of those ministers. Well, if I'm not viewing it that way, I succumb to the world. If I do not view me as a child of God or you as a child of God, if that is not my view, whatever my view is, that's what I'm going to have. And that's what gives me a passion and a fire for God in the things of God, because I know God has great things for you. But if I'm viewing bad things for me, everything I look at is bad for everybody else. So when you're down, everything else is down. When you get around people that are down, everything, the world's coming to an end. Good golly. I'll tell you, I go in and do chaplain, and I know the ones that have their eyes on God. Because they're in the hospital sitting there smiling, and I'm thinking to myself, praise God, they're believing that they're getting out of here. But those that are like, well, you know, this, that, and they list their problems, their view is their problem. Yeah. So they start, the problem produces and reproduces. I'm telling you, church, grab a hold of this truth. Jesus' view was on the Father all the time. That's why he was able to do what he did. And I'm not one of those preachers, even though 99% of my preaching is about the blessing. I know there's struggles that go on. I know there's trials. Because Jesus went through them. Paul went through them. John went through them. Every single apostle went through them. The church went through it. The Israelites went through it. They all went through struggles. But that wasn't what they were viewing. They were viewing the promised land. Amen. They were viewing heaven. Jesus' view was not the cross. Jesus' view was seated with the right hand of the Father. Jesus' view was the resurrection, not his death. But in the moment of that, his feelings and emotions and struggle was real because he wanted that to pass from him. Yeah. Do I need, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah. That's where he ended up, right? So his view, he felt the pressures of what he was getting ready to go through. He saw what he was getting ready to go through, but he didn't get stuck there. He looked past there and he saw the resurrection. He saw the promise. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have. He saw the everlasting life. He saw the victory over sin. He saw the victory over death. He didn't get stuck in the moment. He saw the picture, and it gave him a passion to say, you know what? Put me on the cross. Shed my blood. Beat me. Put a crown of thorns on my head. I don't really care because I already know I'm coming up off of this cross. Amen. And I'm coming up out of this grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you can see that your future is bright, it illuminates your life. It illuminates your life. Oh my goodness, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Vision is a picture of the future that produces a passion for the present. What do I mean by that? You see what you want And that kickstarts a desire now for you to achieve it. So you see what God's word says about you, and it kickstarts a passion in you, a desire in you to do what it is that you need to do now to get to where you're going. So when your view is heaven, all you want to do is heavenly things. Think about that. When you know this is not your life is eternal. When you know that this is not the end all, when this life isn't the end all, it's the gateway to eternity. When you realize that your life, everything you do is building a heavenly account that you're going to live in eternity in that place, it changes your perspective on everything. When the Bible says your words will be judged and life and death is in the power of the tongue, you start changing your vocabulary very quickly. See, people don't want to talk about this because it starts messing with their kitty litter. It starts messing with the way they live. And I'm telling you, we're coming into a new year, and there's a word that has been put forth that is a very strong word that I believe is really a central factor in 2024, and that's consecration. The church has to get to the place of consecrating themselves, setting themselves apart, sanctifying themselves, and living for God. And the only way to do that is put your eyes on God. Put your eyes in the scripture, read the word of God, and we're going to do a 21-day prayer and fasting for exactly that exact purpose, is to put our eyes on God and receive from God. Amen. And I want to share this with you, that a prayer and a fast is not to move God. I know this is going to just wreck your theology. But your faith, your commitment, your desire, everything work you do does not move God. It only gets you to a place where you can receive God. God is moving. And he moves on the people that are consecrated and set apart for him. So you're not going to move God off the throne, okay, by your prayer and your fast. What you're going to do is you're going to move yourself into a position where his presence and his power flows through you. That's what a prayer and fast does. It doesn't move God. I'm not praying to move God to do something for me. He's already done it. 2,000 years ago. I'm just getting myself in a place where I'm getting my eyes off of self and onto him. And then I realize, oh, that is mine. Oh, I can really have that. I can walk in it. I can have perfect peace. I can have divine healing. That's what this does. That's what a fast does. It positions you under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. That's what a fast does. It gets your flesh out of the way, so you stop looking at yourself and start looking to God, and then you're in amazement. Oh, God, you really did that for me. Oh, yeah, I did it 2,000 years ago. Thanks for catching up. He doesn't look at us that way, but I'm telling you, that's what a fast does. It gets your flesh out of the way so your spirit can hear the voice of God. He's speaking, but what a fast does is it gets the earplugs out of your ears so you can hear what he's saying and then do what he says to do. Amen? Amen. We must transition our view further ahead than the now. Living in a moment, you can only deal moment by moment. If I'm looking down, I can only focus on one step at a time. But when I look up, I can see where I'm going. And when I see Christ before me, when I see Jesus in front of me, I'm walking with him. I'm walking the path that he has for me. But if I'm just looking around, I'm only can see so far. And what happens is we get caught up in only one step at a time, and we never know where we're really headed. You may make good steps, but what direction are you going if you don't look up? You understand what I'm saying? You can walk around a mud puddle by looking down, but if you never look up, you may keep going around the mud puddle. Think about that. We have a tendency to only view day to day. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord says their mercies are new every day. So we got to focus on the now. I get it. But without vision, without a future hope, we can't put our faith in anything but the now. So our faith only operates day to day. But when your faith attaches to heaven and attaches to the hope of eternity, man, you know you're going in the right direction and you're dealing with today. And each day gets better because you're walking with the Lord. You're not walking in your own power. You're focused on Him. Is that helping anyone? Because I want you to be able to see where the church is not narrow-minded. The world thinks the church is so narrow-minded. They don't know what they're doing. We don't get it, but it's just weird, and they have no money. They're poor. They're going to fall. The gates of hell are going to prevail against them. It's none of that. The church is alive and well if it puts its eyes on Christ, the rock. Amen. That's what that does. You're viewing the very foundation. And if the church gets away from the rock, gets away from preaching the blood, gets away from healing, guess what? Their views on other things. When you get your view off of healing and wholeness, you're putting it on sickness and disease instead. When your eyes are not in the eyes of faith, they're in the eyes of fear. Think about that. When your spirit isn't a giving spirit, it's a taking spirit. You get the opposite where you put your eyes. Yeah. So everybody has spiritual eyes to see something. What are you focusing on? That's the question I want to. You need to ask yourself. Are your eyes on Him? Let's transition our view and put our eyes on Him. See, this is what happens. Everything in our society and world is coming from the outside in. But God works differently. He comes from the inside out. And when you understand that truth, it has more power than anything on the outside because you have healing and wholeness on the inside. So when your body physically deals with, if sickness comes on your body, you don't deal with it from the outside in. Your body takes care of it from the inside out. Yeah. Same thing with a cut. You get a cut, it has to heal from the inside out. If it covers and it doesn't heal on the inside, you're going to have problems later. But God works on the inside. And when you realize that, there's nothing closer than the most inner part of a man's heart. And that's where God dwells. That's where the Spirit dwells. So everything has to come in to grab a hold of you. But the Lord, he's already there. He already dwells there, and He's working from the inside out. So you have light on the inside that's dealing with all the darkness on the outside. So our view should be heaven because that allows us to see heaven coming from the inside of us out. Do you see what I'm saying? Your view changes. Instead of looking at what's coming at you, you have a view of heaven where everything is viewed through the eyes of God. So you see it differently. That's why the non-believer sees and walks differently than a believer because their view is different. When I view heaven, I don't worry about this earth. When I got saved, the spirit of fear left my body. I didn't have to deal with the spirit of fear anymore. The fear of dying was all over me. I hated it and got zero answers. And I looked all around me, viewed everything to try to figure out how to get fear out of my life. Money couldn't do it. Nothing did it. Nothing did it. Even when I was dating my wife, I wasn't saved in the very beginning of dating her. And I still had fear. And she shared with me about the books, the Left Behind books, and she shared with me about heaven, and it sparked in my spirit that I needed something. She had something that I needed, and I had to go find it on my own. And when I did, that spirit left, because I put my eyes on God. I didn't look through her to find God. I didn't follow her to find God. I had to find God on my own, because I had to put my own eyes on it. So if people live a life through someone else that's spiritual, they'll never see what that person sees. They have to see it themselves. And you can send somebody to counseling because you tell them to go to counseling. But if they can't see that they need it, it's not going to help them. They're going to go right back into it. You can tell somebody about Jesus and share with them and pray with them. But if they can't see it for themselves, they got to ask Jesus themselves. I can't ask for you. My view is my view only. I can share what my view is, but you got to see it in your own heart. You got to see it through the eyes of your spirit. Amen. And grab a hold of it yourself. Amen. And that's a problem in the Western church is the congregation sees God through their pastor. And that's not right. Yeah, they can see God working through their pastor. That's great. But your salvation isn't your pastor. It isn't your priest. It's between you and God. You go to the throne of God. You're the one that's going to have to answer to God, not your priest. Not your pastor. I'd love to get everybody saved, but I can't save a flea. Let's be honest about it. I know that sounds funny and kind of contrary, but that's the truth of the matter. Is each person has to come to a knowledge of Jesus themselves and has to have a view of God and a view of heaven. And you can see if people's view is not heaven and it's religion, then they're all into works. They're all into trying to be good enough. If I do this, this, and this, then God's going to love me. God loves you way before you were even born. There's nothing you can do to change God's love for you. He loves you. You just got to receive it. It's a receiving, it's a viewing it, not a doing it. The doing it is the rewards in heaven, but the viewing it is your heart to God. That's your salvation. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It's nothing about your work. In the beginning, it's nothing about your work. You're not good enough. That's why you need Jesus. Amen. That's a different service, different time, different. Shut up, bro. Different. It's just different. Amen. God's vision must be your vision. Any view outside of God has limited success. So if your view is not, if God is not in your view, then your view is self-made. And you're going to have to work that thing out yourself in your own power. And I'm telling you, I've done it before. It doesn't work. It's called burnout. You labor, and get nowhere. Or you get a little bit. But when you go with God, you step over into a miraculous. You step over into the supernatural. Well, doors just open, and you didn't even touch them. You didn't even touch them. God will honor your faithfulness, and he'll just move for you. And you're like, oh, man, this is amazing. I finally got a hold of this. It's been there the whole time. Just like gold's been here the whole time when God created the earth. We just had to dig it out and find it. Salvation's been here since Jesus was resurrected. You just had to hear about it. Put your eyes on it, and then all of a sudden you got saved. Imagine that. Healing's no different. Healing's been here since the resurrection. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you. I receive your healing now in Jesus' name. Yes. But we make it too religious. We make it too hard. Oh, I gotta live right, I gotta do right, I gotta speak, I gotta read so many chapters of the Bible a day to get my healing. Where's that in Scripture? Maybe some false prophet told you that, but that's not what the Word of God says. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift. Gifts are free. Amen. And you don't have to pay for the gift. The blood paid for it. Amen. It's already paid for. Just receive it. There's where your eyes need to be. We make church, we make Christianity so difficult. We make it so hard. You don't have to be smart to get saved. You just have to be a believer. That's it. The foolish things of the world confound the wise. I say it all the time. Thank you, Jesus, for using me. Amen. Foolish things of the world confound the wise. See, I can talk to anybody on a spiritual level because my eyes are on God when I talk to them, not on myself. If I look at myself to try to counsel somebody or deal with a situation and I do it based off of what I see in the natural, I'll fail every time. Yeah. But if I put God on the scene, man, the Spirit of God goes before me. The angels of heaven go before, and it starts working. And the Holy Spirit starts ministering that person before I even show up. And I just confirm in them what the Spirit's already speaking. And that's all I got to do is just believe that the Holy Spirit's going to do the work. Hey, this is revelation as a senior pastor. Try to labor, try to do everything in your own power. It's hard. Man, maybe I'll just take a step back. Lord, you build the church. I'll just be obedient to tell you, okay, I'm obedient. I'm here this morning. I prepared the message and I'm giving it. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to put your eyes on God and trust God and put your faith in what he's saying. You believe it and receive it. You believe it and receive it. Not do a bunch of things, then receive it. You believe and you receive. Hallelujah. When your vision has Scripture attached to it, it creates a supernatural outcome. When your vision has the Word of God attached to it, it has God's blessing on it. See, many people are chasing blessings. All you need to do is chase God and the blessings come.
Amen.
Amen. The blessings are automatic because God shows up. When God's view is in the picture, when God is on your side, blessing is already there. It's a byproduct. It's a fruit. See, people are trying to confess and trying to confess money in and checks in. Just chase after God and they'll show up. You're working too hard. Let me help you out next year. Don't work so hard. Just believe. Church is over. Let's go home. No, that's the revelation. Put your eyes on Him and not on yourself. And the blessing of God will just flow through. It'll just flow. You didn't do anything to deserve your salvation. Nothing at all. You just received what He did. Everything in Scripture operates that way. The whole kingdom of God. We are going to be shocked when we get to heaven and we realize how easy things are. But how difficult we made them. Trying to do this, trying to do that. This, I got to be a... No, just be. Be who God called you to be. That's it. Oh, I feel the presence of God. Just be. You say, wait, your preaching's weird. That's you're missing it. Just be. You get the message. Be. Believe the word of God. Allow His presence. Put your eyes on Him. Transition your view, not in this realm. Transition it up. See the salvation of God. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You're not trying to get redeemed. You're not trying to get healed. You're the healed of the Lord. You got pain in your body, believe it'll go. And it has to. What's your view? Transition your view. I know this sounds crazy, like impossible. I don't know if that's really real. Try it. Try it. You can't say something isn't good till you try it. My parents taught me that. When they put food in front of me and I look at it and I think, my vision of it did not line up with my desire. All right? But I couldn't really say anything till I tried it. And then I tried it. I was like, well, that's pretty good. Can I have some more? Because I realized, I tasted and I saw that it was good.
Amen.
Why do you think Scripture says that? Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Because
He is good. But you got to taste it. You got to put your eyes on it. And that's why we preach the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives. You're not going to get like a theological message. You're going to get a personal impartation of the Holy Ghost and receive what God has for you today.
Amen.
Amen. It's not some theological, I went to college forever and ever to get, use big words and theological terminology. I talk to ministers and they're using words I've never heard of. And I'm thinking to myself, am I missing something? But no. There's a peace on the inside of me. I'm exactly where I need to be without the big words. I don't need a big... All I need to do is say, Jesus, I love You. Be my Lord and my Savior. Guide me and direct me in all of my ways. I trust in You. I don't see any big words in that. Why does the Bible say, come to Me as little children? Because little children can receive it. See, us theological people just push God right out. Because we're looking at self instead of Him. God says, Jesus said, bring the children unto Me. Bring it. Told His disciples, shut up. You back off. Don't despise the little ones. Bring them to Me. Because once those kids saw Jesus and felt His presence, nothing could stop them. Yeah. Woe unto us parents and elders that think we know all the details. Let the kids get in the presence of God and see what the Lord can do with them. Raise a child up in the way they shall go, and they shall not depart. The way they shall go is not your way. The way they shall go is God's way. All you're doing is setting them up for God to speak to them and work through them all the days of their life. That's all I'm supposed to do. I don't go around here with a piece of grass and try to shove it in people's mouths. Eat this. Eat this. That's not a shepherd. That's not a shepherd. I don't force feed you. I don't say you either receive this or I'm going to do this. No. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd feeds the flock. He offers pasture and he keeps the wolves away. So people that want to disturb the Cerberus or talk about New Freedom, I'll deal with them. Not a problem at all. I have no problem dealing with people. It's great. It's great. But what I'm saying is you must eat. If the pasture is there, you got a view that there's pasture here for you. And as you do that, you'll see the vision of why we do what we do here. It's a kingdom work here. We're just offering the Word of God and the Spirit of God to you. Here it is. Yeah. Just believe it, and you'll receive it. Amen. It's that simple. Mountains will move in your life. Amen. As you view Jesus Christ. Mountains will move. Vision is a picture of the future that produces a passion for the present. The whole Bible is people's lives being transformed as they place God in the center of their view. It's stories of people, normal people, that put their eyes on God, and all of a sudden, their view changed and supernatural things took place. From Genesis to Revelation, that's all it is. It's normal people receiving what God has and moving in the supernatural. Was Moses more special than you? Nope. Was Mary more special than you? No. Paul? No. They were just faithful servants. What are you? Faithful servant. That's all you got to do is view that you are a child of God. And watch what he does with you. I'm telling you, this new year, tomorrow is going to be a great, great day. Because God has great things. But I want to share with you, your view is not on the time of this world. Your new day, your best day is your next day. It's not a calendar day. You can have July 13th as being your supernatural day. You can have January 3rd as your supernatural day. When you wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, I'm fixing my eyes on him and he's going to do great things today. Amen. So don't wait for a new year to get the new perspective on God. I say that, I don't want to discredit today being New Year's Eve, because I want you to set goals. Because guess what? The reason man sets goals and desires better next year than the past year is because God. Because that's God's heart for you. That's why everybody, even the world, doesn't even get it. They don't even get it that they want to do better for themselves, because it's innate creative power in you to do better than where you were. That's why parents want better for their kids. Why? That's an attribute and a character of God. The world doesn't even see it. Do you get what I'm saying? You always want to do better. God always wants better for you too. Where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. Guess what? You and God can do a lot once you see that God is on your side. Yeah. The biggest criticizer of self is self. Yeah. We blame the enemy for all kinds of things. He has zero power. When you fix your eyes on God, you realize that the devil was defeated 2,000 years ago. Amen. Amen. He whipped the enemy. When you view heaven, you don't worry about the enemy. Right. He has no power. Your biggest enemy is your unrenewed mind. Another 50 sermons just came out just then. An unrenewed mind, doubt and unbelief. They are raging. You're looking at your ability and not God's ability through you. Amen. God's got great things. I'm not saying this in a condemning way. I want to encourage you. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes to heaven and see. Hallelujah. John 6:38. First scripture of the day. Praise God. For I have come down from heaven, this is Jesus, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Where was his eyes on heaven? Jesus was fixed on heaven. Because it's not about his will, it's about his Father's will. John 6:38. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. See, most people have a hard time looking up and doing God's will because they have their own will is in between. And you have to deal with your own will and put it under to get God's will. Jesus was our example. He showed us that. There's many of you that 2023 has kind of flipped your life upside down, but your story isn't over. Your story is not over. View heaven. Watch what the Lord's going to do this next year. Don't let 2023 dictate your future. Your future is what you think your future is. Your future is what you set your eyes on. I'm telling you, great things are going to happen in 2024. I see it. This is where I started my message. I'm viewing you through the eyes of God. And I see a lot of great things happening.
Amen.
When I see your face, you don't have to smile at me for me to see what God sees about you. Amen. You can give me the biggest frown in the world, but it doesn't matter to me because I see God doing something great in you. And it's going to be God that's going to turn your frown upside down. Amen. Amen. Because I see it. I see it. I see my life. I see my wife. I see my family. I see the church family as increasing in every area, every single area. I see my revelation increasing in me. I speak positive because that's what I see. You're not going to hear me speak negative. If I'm speaking negative, it's because my mind's not renewed and I don't have my eyes on the right thing. I'm human, sorry. But the more I learn and keep my eyes on God, the more I want to stay there. And that's the fight of faith, is to keep my eyes fixed on God.
Amen.
All the time. All the time. There's things that are going to battle with you, with family, with friends, coworkers, finances. All these struggles are going to come. You're not going to stop. Same thing with persecution. Persecution's going to come.
Yeah.
But that's not what I fix my eyes on.
Come on.
The reason persecution comes is because my eyes are fixed on the right thing. And then you see that, you realize that people attack you because of your faith. Don't let your faith waver. Don't let your faith get shipwrecked. Keep your eyes focused. Keep going forward. Amen. If your eyes are on God, you have peace. And the Bible says, seek peace and pursue it. So that means don't worry about what people are saying. If your eyes are on God, amen. And that's why it's vital to get around others that eyes are fixed on God. That is vital. I'm telling you, if you want to change something in your life, some of your friends should find new friends, all right? And you need to believe God for new friends. Say, iron sharpens iron. People that are going to lift you up. People's focus that's on the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm saying beyond New Freedom Church. Amen. There's brothers and sisters out there that love Jesus, that'd be good friends. Amen.
Yes.
Don't get bogged down with people that aren't have a positive outlook. I'm not saying you judge them or discard them. Pray for them. But don't let them speak into your life. And don't let them pray over you, for heaven's sake. Don't let somebody pray that prays fear. Oh, Lord, I hope this gets better. Now, I don't hope it. It's getting better. It's already better. Amen. Oh, my. Amen. Amen. John 9:39. I'm talking about Jesus. I want to give you the example of Jesus in Scripture. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world. People read that, and that's when they take that scripture and stop there, they think Jesus has come to judge them and take them out. That's not what this means at all. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world. Where did he come? Into the world. He came to judge the world, not you. Watch this now. Watch this now. That those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. He came to judge sin. He came to judge the world in the sinful nature that's of the world. He didn't come to get you. People say it all the time. Oh, if I go to church, lightning's going to strike. If I go to church, it's going to burn up. No, it can't. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You have a misrepresentation of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to get the hell out of you. To get sin out of your life, to break the power of the enemy off of you so you could see the light.
Amen.
That's why he came to judge sin, and that's what he's doing. And when you receive him, he removes the sin and you become free.
Amen.
A new creation in Christ, you can finally see the truth of the matter. That's why Jesus came to judge sin. Don't put his judgment on you. If there's judgment, if you feel judgment against you, there's something you got to release. There's something you got to let go, because when Jesus is on you, all you get is joy. All you get is peace and comfort and stability. So if there's things that are rocking the boat, you need to figure out what wind is blowing there that's rocking you, or what storm is trying to rage against you, and get it out of there. Amen. When Jesus was in the boat and the disciples came in, we're going to sink, we're going to die. Jesus didn't just say, why? He didn't ask a bunch of questions. He just said, be still. Yeah. He just spoke directly to the root of the matter, which was the storm. He didn't get all flustered about what they were saying. All right. He didn't say, where's your faith? What are you doing? And asking. No, he just stood up out of his sleep and said, peace be still.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it stopped. Amen. Where did he put his eyes? On his father.
Yeah.
Not on man. And they were his disciples. They were the ones following that he was trusting in. So be careful. Put your eyes on God. You have to view God before you view anything else. Because through God, you'll be able to view things the way God sees them.
Yeah.
If you put your view and you bypass God, you're going to put it in man.
Yeah.
And you're going to put it in the world.
Yeah.
And it's going to stifle and hurt you in the long run. He came to judge and dismantle the power of sin, the world system. So when sin is removed, zero judgment. You feel judged because there's something wrong on the inside. You feel condemned. Then you feel judgment towards yourself. Well, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. So when you put Christ in there, there's no condemnation, no sin, you're free.
Amen.
You don't feel judged anymore. I don't feel judged by anybody. People may want to try to judge me, and that's their problem, right? Even the message, there's times where I felt my messages were offensive in nature, and then I realized I'm just sharing out of my heart.
Yeah.
I'm sharing out of my heart. If you take it, if you get offended by the message, that's between you and the Lord. That's not my motive. That's not my heart at all.
Right.
At all. But I went years where it felt like I was coming, people... Like, I felt it coming back at me, like, what am I doing wrong? Are my messages horrible? Where's my heart? Am I humble? Blah, blah, blah. And I felt condemned all the time. And then I was just like, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I love people. Maybe there's some work I need to do on the way I bring the sermon across, but it's not that my heart's wrong. Amen. I just need a little more refining, amen, on my delivery. Sometimes. Amen. I'm not saying I got it all figured out and my messages are the best and they're perfect. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it's out of a heart of compassion and love for people.
Amen.
It's not to judge you. It's not to condemn you. It's not to beat you over the head. It's to get you set free.
Amen.
And there's times that if you have a burden on you, that's your view, and everything you hear funnels, filters through that. And then everything everybody says about you, you feel condemned about.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, this person, they're judging me. This person is judging me. This person. And people are like, I love you. Oh, you're judging me. It's because your view on a situation or a circumstance is plaguing what people are trying to speak to you. Amen. And then what happens is when you have that, you're blaming everybody else. You're like, they're all the problem. But little do you know, you need to humble yourself and get that condemnation off of you. Break free from that, and then you'll be able to filter people's words for what it is. And the Holy Spirit will give you discernment to say, yeah, they really do have a bad motive. Don't take that word. But if this is going to bless you. I believe in this is blessing you, because we have a tendency, if we're broken, everything else is broken. Because our eyes are on our brokenness. But when our eyes are on our... We're whole, and our eyes are on Christ, we can see things for what they really are.
Yes.
When the light is turned on, you can see.
Amen.
But when there's cloudiness, when the glass, you ever get in your car, turn on the frost, and all of a sudden the windshield fogs up, you're like, oh, I can't see anything. You got to wait for the heat to get to where it needs to get to, and then you can see clearly, all right? So you may turn it on, and all of a sudden it seems like your life is fogging up because you got turned on to God. Just wait. God's going to just take that fog out of the way, and you're going to have a wonderful view of your future. You'll see everything clearly. I'm saying clearly, not some foggy, not some halfway. I am believing God 2024 is going to be a view of clarity. You're going to have a clear view of what the Lord's speaking to you to do. Amen. People are going to step into areas in ministry and in life and serving that God, the anointing of God is right here. I'm telling you, you're going to see what God's telling you.
Amen.
You're going to see it. And then there's others that are going to see it on you and confirm it for you. Amen. But you got to see it yourself.
Amen.
Don't wait for the minister to give you some word of knowledge or some word of wisdom. You already got it in you. See it for what it really is. See it for what it really is. I'm telling you, I preach to myself. I'm grabbing a hold of this message. Amen. It's a good message. Thank you, Lord, for this message. It's changing my life. Amen. It's changing me from the inside out. I'm viewing the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. John 10:10, the thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. When my eyes are on Jesus, it's nothing but life and abundant life. Amen. I don't have time for steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? And if the enemy's steal, killing, and destroying something in my wife's life, I'm telling you what, I'm coming in there like a flood. In the name of Jesus, we break this thing off. You, enemy, you will not touch my family. Amen. And that view has to take place when it comes to everything that's being attacked against the church in society today. Amen. What you hear on the news, don't put your eyes on it. If you struggle with what the news is saying, don't listen to it. Turn it off. Amen. If that is a struggle that puts you into fear, shut the thing off. Amen. Get rid of your subscription. Save that money and give it to the kingdom. Amen. If that's your stumbling block, break it off. I tell people all the time, if you have a stumbling block with drinking, don't drive past the bar. Get the contacts out of your life that are the ones that encourage you to drink. Come on. Do something about it. Put your eyes on God and make a decision to bring change. Amen. Life is too short to try to figure all these little details out and get everybody else's opinion. Get God's word and run with it. Amen. It's an appointed time. Time is now. Redeem the time, the Bible said. That means purchase it. Buy the time. Amen. I don't have long. I've been married 21 years. It feels like 4 months. I don't have a lot of time with my wife. I need to make better time with my wife. Amen. Many date nights. So into my date. No, I'm just kidding. Many date nights. That was, please, scratch that. I got to make time. I make time for what's important. Come on, this is going to rock you. I make time for church because church is important. I know I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. You're here today. Praise God. But this prayer and fasting, I'm consecrating my life to God because I know God has good things. And the fast is not going to move God. It's going to allow me to see God. That's exactly what it's going to do. So if you want to see more of God, you got to make a little decision. If you really want God to move in 2024 in your life, in the ministry he has for you, you got to do something about it. And I'm not saying you got to work it to make him move. He's already done it. You just got to get to the place of receiving it. Put your eyes on, transition your view. That's where it's at. Transition your view. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. When you understand that's what the enemy's tactics are, you want nothing to do with him. And you don't want him to be a part of anybody's life. I don't care if he is your enemy. You don't want the enemy to control anybody. Even the person you don't like down the street. Your heart should be well enough as a believer that you don't want that attack on them. So if you ride past your neighbor's house and you're wishing something evil on him, you better get repented. You better get right with God because you're in a bad place if you want something negative to happen to somebody. See, you got to get your view on the right thing. I mean, I'm telling you, even as pastors will go past churches that are flourishing and hoping that they don't flourish. It happens. It happens. Don't look at me. I'm not saying it's me. I'm just saying, it happens. Amen. Please help me, Jesus. Not me, but it does. It happens because it's a selfish stance. No, I'm ready for churches to explode. Amen. Hey, Federalsburg's going to explode. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Let's get there. Amen. John 12:27-28, I mentioned this. This was Jesus at the cross. Because I want to touch on it just briefly, that we have emotions and feelings. We're not naive or run away from emotions and feelings. They just don't guide us. Right. They're not the final authority, but they're there. Jesus had them too. That's why he had to come in the flesh to take on the emotions and the physical side of things. See, it wouldn't help us a lick if Jesus never came down in the flesh. He would do everything as deity, not as humanity. But he had to come as humanity, amen, to take on the flesh, to take on sin, and deliver us from it. Amen. He got the victory, we got the victory. Hallelujah. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Here, Jesus, listen to this. Listen, my soul is troubled. You may have a troubled soul right now. You may have thoughts of something that are troubling you, right? We all do. We all do. I am not going to minister in a way that says you'll never go through a struggle or you'll never have a bad thought. That's a false gospel. You are going to have struggle. That's why you need Jesus. Amen. Sin is abounding. That's why you need Jesus. Amen. See, if we didn't have church and we didn't preach and teach the gospel, then why in the world are we doing what we're doing? No, it brings change. It helps a brother and a sister out. It encourages you and edifies you. John 12:27-28. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? See, Jesus asked himself, yes, I have a troubled soul, but how am I going to handle it? Watch this. Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. You need to get this, church. You're here on this earth for an appointed time. Amen. It's not a mistake that you're here today. It's not a mistake that you were born in this generation. It's not a mistake. You're here for this hour. You're equipped to handle this hour. This hour is not bigger than you. People say, oh, I don't know about this young generation. They've all missed it. They're all on social media. Now, there's something God's getting ready to do through the young people. Amen. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God can't see it. Yeah. See, people try to play God and they think God's, fell asleep on the throne. No, he's not. He knows what he's doing. That's why we go pray and fast to get in the face of God and understand what he's thinking and doing. Mm-hmm. So we can relate to these young people that we have zero understanding of why they do what they do sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. Get in God's face. See, some of you that may be against the youth, God may be calling for you to be a youth minister. Imagine that. That's how funny God is. Yeah. Yeah, he'll put you right in that place where you're like, I'll never go. I've shared it before. A minister, one of my instructors at Rhema, he wanted to be, he was on Hawaii 5-0 back in the 80s. You know, he was like not a character, he was an actor. You know, he was a backup actor for Hawaii 5-0. So he looked the part, And he wanted to be a pastor in Hawaii because he looked the part. And the Lord took him right to upstate Michigan to pastor. Yeah? You can have a desire, but you got to get in the will of God. And he's a blessed man. I haven't talked to him in years, but he was doing fine. You know what I mean? He was doing fine being up there in Michigan, getting people saved and preaching the gospel. All right, so you may say, well, I don't know about this hour. It's the hour. You got to see the hour for what it is. Amen. You got to see it for what it is. Luke 19:10, last scripture. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He came to seek out and save that which is lost. So every low place, every hard place, every sick place, that's exactly where Jesus wants to go. To save it, to deliver it, and to set it free. Hallelujah. So your family member that is just driving you nuts, that's exactly where Jesus wants to go. Because he wants to heal that thing. He wants to deliver that thing. Amen. To seek and to say, don't just hope. Don't just hope. Believe God. Let's put her, yes, so-and-so. Don't say their name out loud. But you write it down. Everybody has that family member or that coworker or that neighbor. That believe God. He's going to change their life. Amen. See, Jesus had a view of the future. He told his disciples, look out. For the field is white under harvest. Notice that. He said it's ready. It is ripe. He saw it. And the prophecy is even now. Look out, church. Look. The field is white under harvest. Laborers are few. Go unto the harvest. I see a bunch of combines here. Ready to harvest. Ready to harvest. Amen. See, Sunday morning is just a time to oil and grease up your combine. Amen. Just maintenance time to get you set to go out the whole week and just start harvesting. Yeah. Amen. Start reaping. Amen. The harvest of souls. You say, oh, I don't know. Get your eyes on God. That's why he came, to seek and to save those who are lost. So if he is seeking and saving and you are his child, guess what you should be doing? Seeking and saving. Not that you can save them, but you know who does. Sharing Jesus with people. Amen. Get your eyes on him. He didn't allow what was lost or stolen to shift his focus. Jesus didn't waver based off of what he saw. Can you imagine going to the garden and all of a sudden one of your 12 for 30 pieces of silver sells you out and brings a barrage of people with swords to come and arrest you? Oh man, if you would have been like Peter. We all would have been like Peter in the flesh. Whip out our sword and chop off their ear. He must have missed, because I'm sure he probably was shooting for the neck. Think about that. Nobody ever talks about that, and I know it's not scriptural, so maybe we shouldn't talk about it. But think, he must have a good aim if he was aiming for the ear and lopped off Malchus's ear. Think about that fleshly tendency that drove up in Peter to do that. See, he didn't realize all the prophecy that Jesus was preparing, that, you know, I am going to be crucified. Jesus shared to prepare them. Amen. I'm preparing you for what's coming. Get your eyes on God in 2024. Watch and see what he's doing. He didn't allow temptation or his flesh to alter God's vision for humanity. He didn't say, oh God, no. I know that cross has my name on it, but I'm not doing it today. I'm going to rebel against what you're telling me to do, and I'm not doing it. Just think where we'd be today if Jesus said, no, God, I'm not doing it. We'd all be going to hell. That's exactly where we'd be going. It would be bad. He came and accomplished the mission, period. Guess what? You will too. I'm going to close with that. You will too. You'll accomplish the mission God has for you. How do I know that? Because you're going to set your eyes on him. You're going to have vision. You're going to see the picture of heaven and the ministry God has for you. And it's going to stir a passion on the inside to start operating in that. Amen. When you see it, you'll start operating in it. When I see something good, when my son and I go hunting, we pray before we go out hunting. Amen. And we don't always pray, we're going to get the biggest one. We pray for safety. We pray for provision. We pray for to make an ethical shot. Those are the things we pray. Amen. But when our focus is on God, it allows the Lord to do what he needs to do. So we don't only go hunting together. We also hear the voice of God together. We also have peace together. All these things happen because our view is on God. Just because you have a job doesn't mean your view is the job. Your view has to be God in the job. Amen. Yeah. Amen. When you see God in your job, when you see God in your marriage, when you see God in your family, it changes your perspective. Amen. Man, if something welled up in me to get mad at my kids or my wife, where my view is would dictate how I operate in that. If my view's on God, all of a sudden it's like, huh, I'm powerless. I love you. Can't say anything. Why? Because it's not what I need to be saying. Because my view isn't that. See, when you have anger or resentment or lashing out at people, it's because your view is on yourself. Yeah, your flesh is rising up. You got to tamp that thing down and say, yeah, no, you are not the authority in my life. Jesus is. Yes. And then your spirit speaks. Yeah. I love you. Anyway, got quiet. Oh, I hear the groans of the people. Anyway, you will too. You'll have fresh vision, fresh revelation, and fresh consecration. The word consecration is sanctification and dedication. Something we lack in society, in our culture, dedication. People don't dedicate to their job. They don't dedicate when they say they're going to be there. People aren't people of their word. All those things. But when you follow God, you become a person of your word. Amen. You are what you speak. Amen. If I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. Unless Jesus comes back. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not in your own power, but it's his grace. Just see God in every situation, and you'll have the ability to conquer that situation. Every head bow, every eye closed. You can turn the music on. Thank you for listening online. We love having you. We're very thankful for you online. We really are. We do not take it lightly. And neither does God. For each and every person here today, I do not take it lightly. I'm so glad you're here today because I see what God has for you. I see the goodness of God in your life. I see His provision. I see His healing. I see His life-giving power that's upon you. There's a lot of prophetic words for 2024, but I like to stick with the Bible. I like to stick with the promises of God because I know they're true and they're yes and amen. And I know no matter what, the enemy's still defeated. I know goodness and mercy follows the believer all the days of their life. See, these are promises that I stand on because they're God's word. And I want you to release your faith and believe God that for yourself as well. I want you to see the goodness of God. We have some books on the back table. This doesn't work for those online, but they're called promise books. Maybe our usher can go back. They're under the table in the back. I want everyone to get one today. There'll be a gift to you today. Because there's so many promises I want you to put your eyes on. I want you to see what God has for you. But at this time, I want to offer prayer to you. If the Lord's been stirring in your heart this morning. Stirring in your heart this morning. Yeah, I need to change my view on some things. I need to adjust some things in my life. This is the opportune time for the Holy Ghost and power to come upon you. For you to have a perspective for 2024. Yeah, 2023 was an interesting year. But don't let that dictate your future. It's a new year. It's a new day. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's been said many times by many people. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't let the past dictate your future. Don't hold on to things that aren't of God because you'll never be able to hold what God has for you. If your fist is clamped, if your mind is shut down, if your heart is hardened, you won't be able to receive what God has in this new year. Take it before the Lord. Set your heart on the things of God. Purpose in your heart right now. Purpose in your heart right now. See yourself as an overcomer. See yourself victorious. If you do not know the Lord, you need to ask Him into your heart. You need to receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. As Lord of your life. To remove that sin and the lies that are hindering your future. In Jesus' name, I break the power of the enemy off of each and every person. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, no weapon formed against you shall prosper in 2024. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. No weapon, no fiery dart can enter in. In Jesus' name, I see it. Every head bow, every eyes closed. I want you to go on a journey and look up with your spiritual eyes. See your salvation. See your healing. See your provision. See it, church. Each of you has to see it for yourself. See your marriage restored, refreshed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the Lord's speaking to people. The Lord is speaking to people right now. And if He's speaking to you, you need to come forward. Nobody's judging you. The best thing you can do is break the power of the enemy off of you so the power of God can flow. Hallelujah. God cannot flow where sin is abounding. And just because you come up, I'm not saying you're in sin and you're messing up and you're horrible. No, that's not it at all. You're coming up because you know there's something better for you. Maybe there's just a lie you're believing. I'm going to have Pastor Lacey come up and pray.